Tonight, I was drawn to an old passage found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 40 to 42, where Peter had just finished a great sermon. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this passage, where he talked about the fulfillment of prophecy, the foreordained plan of God, the resurrection, the exaltation, and the lordship of Christ. And truly, it was a message that was preached under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Peter then showed them the way of salvation, and then verses 40 through 42. And if you don't mind standing for the reading of the word, and then we'll have prayer, and you may be seated. And if you don't mind, I'm going to preach out of a new translation tonight. I hope you're all right with it. It's called King James. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Father, tonight, thank you for the privilege of worship and praise unto you, and once again gathering together with your people on this Sunday evening and experiencing and feeling your presence. Thank you for honoring us with your presence tonight. Thank you for the wonderful song that we heard tonight by the Blauvelts and the truths that were there. And again, all of the time of worship, thank you that we've had tonight. Take now your word, and would you anoint our hearts with it? And Father, would you help us to see the truths in your word tonight? But not only help us to see your truths, but God, would you also help us to apply them to our lives as we may have need of them tonight? Anoint this thy servant as we endeavor to minister your word, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There is a message here that has spoken to my heart and has challenged me in my own heart and in my own soul and life. Now, usually we focus on the miracle of the approximate 3,000 souls that were saved at this time. However, there's another miracle or another thought here that God had challenged with me some time ago. And that is the fact that they did not stop, but the Bible says that they continued steadfastly. And I guess in serving where I served for many years, I seen the need of this so much, of just walking steadfastly with God. There's an occasion, especially I could point to tonight, that a situation was being dealt with. A man had fallen morally and was being dealt with at that particular time. And I remember in my own heart and my own soul, as my own heart went out to that person, first of all to the person himself that had fallen, but also to those that I knew around and about him that he had influenced so much over the years. I had a burden for their lives. I know that they're going to be disappointed and they were going to be hurt, and did not know how they would react to that. So as I looked at this, I recognized that there's a need here. And I asked God, in my own spirit now, this is not audibly, this is just going on in my own heart and life at that time. I said, God, what is the answer? What is the answer for man? What is the answer for me that I may stay faithful to God? And God just simply dropped one word into my heart, and it was so strong at that time that I took out my pen and I took out a card that I had in my pocket and I just wrote that word down because I wanted to look at it even closer. And the word simply was steadfast. That's the key. The key, I realized, is not achieving position. It's not obtaining fame. It's not accumulating wealth or possession. The key is simply to be steadfast in our walk with God. Now, and then I was reminded that there is more to it than that. We must choose carefully what we remain steadfast in. And that is given to us in verse 42, where it says, "And they continued steadfastly," number one, in the apostles' doctrine. Secondly, in the apostles' fellowship. Thirdly, in the breaking of bread. And fourthly, in prayers. The first of all, it talks about the apostles' doctrine. It was a doctrine we recognize as you read through the scripture. It was a doctrine of salvation. They preached repentance, salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said in John 10 and 9, "I am the door. By me," he says, "if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Peter said, speaking of Jesus in Acts 4 and 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 2:21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He further stated in 2 Peter 3 and 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I'm so thrilled to know tonight that whoever will come, whatever they have done or not done, according to the word of God, that if they shall call upon the name of Jesus, simply ask for forgiveness from him, that according to the word of God, they shall be saved. Thank God for the Adopt-a-Block ministry that goes out and touches hearts and touches lives and all of the other ministries that's going on in this church. I'm so grateful. We also recognize that it was a doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Back in my early days, it was the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. And listen, folks, we still need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. I remember as a small child laying flat on my back in a little old storefront building in little town of California, Missouri, across from the courthouse, that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the difference that it made in my life as I continued on through school at that time and what God has done. Folks, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'm so grateful that Pastor is putting the emphasis on the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We find also that it was a doctrine of the coming of the Lord or the rapture that we know of today. And I still believe that he is coming. Now, I've heard this all of my life, Ever since I can remember anything, I remember my pastor in that little church preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he had basically 4 points, regardless where he took his text from. And one of them is Jesus saves. Another one was that you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thirdly, he heals. And also he's coming again. I mean, I heard that and I heard that and I heard that. When I'd go home at night, I would lay there on bed, and it was my bed, and it was so real that I just knew that he was going to come before morning, and I needed to be ready. And listen, that's not bad to believe that. Amen? But as sure as I'm standing here tonight, I still believe that he's coming again. And I still believe, as I used to hear it, it could be before this service comes to a conclusion. Amen? It could be at any moment. It could be at any time. It was a doctrine of divine healing. I mean, all through the scriptures here, we read about divine healing. So glad. The timing was wonderful. This testimony tonight of what God has done for our brothers of old. Thank God for it. And I still believe he heals. And as long as we have breath in our body, we need to lay hands upon people, anoint them, pray for them, and believe that they will be healed. Now, I don't understand why everybody is not healed that is prayed for. I don't understand totally all of that. I just know that it happens, and sometimes it doesn't happen. And a mother at age of 62 that died, nobody believed in divine healing more than my mother did, but she died. My wife's mother died at the age of 56 with lung cancer and never smoked a cigarette in her life. We've seen her healed once. I'll not go into that tonight, but we seen her healed and looked like it was done. I mean, she was totally, completely healed, but then it came back. I don't understand it all, but I know that God heals. Amen? He heals, and we need to keep praying and believing him for him. All of these doctrines are still in the book. It says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I need to do that. Secondly, they continued steadfastly in the fellowship. I like fellowship. I know that many times the women, they get accused of talking a lot. But in my family, it's me. My wife, periodically, quite often, she'll pull my coattail and say, "Jack, we got to go." I said, "No, I got one more thing I need to say, you know." I like fellowship. And I guess the longer I live, the more important fellowship becomes to me. I'm realizing more and more the importance of my fellow believers. I learn from them and I draw from them. And most of all I have learned has been within the fellowship of the Assemblies of God. I'm thankful for this fellowship. I know that we're not the only fellowship that's doing great things for God. But I just know more about this fellowship than I know about the others. I'm thankful for this fellowship of Pentecostal believers. I often look back over the past years to various ones that have blessed me in this fellowship. And to go way back, I need to tell you a little bit about the first church that I pastored. I sometimes say I pastored it, and sometimes I think I pestered it. And it was a little church, fact, I found my wife in that church. I didn't find her there, but I mean, her dad was pastoring that little church a few years before we went there. It was a little town of Stover, Missouri. About 600 or 800 people is all it was. They didn't have a pastor, and Shirley and I had gotten married. And in fact, I took my father-in-law's only pianist that he had. Shirley was the pianist there, and so when we got married, well, we wasn't close enough for her to go back and forth and play the piano for him. So they sang a cappella. But I told him he had to forgive me, because if he wanted to go to heaven, he had to forgive me. So anyhow, I got by that one. But the presbyter, I kind of went at a lot of things backwards. Shirley and I, we was going to go to Central Bible College, and we came down, we checked it all out. I sold my furniture and bought a little trailer, and that's what we was going to live in. And got home and found out we was expecting our first child. So long story short, it just didn't work out. So I decided, hey, I'm just going to find me a church, and I'm going to go into ministry anyhow. So I talked to the presbyter, and he told me about this little church. It was at Stover. He said, I'll set it up for you to go over and preach, and if they want you, we'll just appoint you. So I said, that'll be fine, and I went over, and I don't know if I preached or read my sermon. It wasn't too good. And so I asked old Brother Randall's. He was always sat right on the front row there, and I said, Brother Randall's, why don't you conclude our service tonight in prayer? So he concluded, and in his prayer, he says, Lord, we thank you for our new pastor. So I just stayed. I just stayed. So anyhow, I can tell you a lot of stories from there, but the brother and sister Randall is the one that I want to just focus on a minute that meant so much to me. They were retired school teachers. They could talk to you about any subject you wanted to. He milked 21 cows every morning and every night. I'm trying to think of all of the stuff that he did. On top of that, he was 75 years old at that time. But he milked 21 cows every morning and every night. He did all of his own mechanicking. He put up all of his own hay. He did all of this. And he told me one day, he says, there's nothing spiritual about what I'm going to say here. But he said, Brother Moore, he says, we need to take down this old stove. Now, our air conditioning was raising all 6 windows and praying for a breeze. Our heat, central heat, was a wood stove sitting in the central part of the floor, the service, the church. He said, we need to take this stove down and take it to the back for the summer. I said, okay. Now, bear in mind, I'm about 23 years old. He's 75. Now, that was old to me then. But 75 is not old now, folks. I want you to know that. I said, that's fine. So we took down the stovepipe that went up and back over my head and got it out. And then he said, now, Brother Moore, if you'll go. Now, everybody was brother and sister back then. He said, Brother Moore, go down and get a board. We'll slip under this stove, and we'll have something to hold on to when we lift it. I said, no problem. I'll go do it. So I got a board. We put under that stove. Brother Randall said, now on the count of 3, we'll lift. Okay? I said, fine, no problem. He's 75, I'm 23. We got a hold of that thing. He counted to 3. And I would have, if I was a betting man, I would have bet money that that was nailed to the floor. But When I saw him come up with his end, I knew it wasn't nailed to the floor. I mean, I was a pretty sharp guy back then. But anyhow, I staggered out the front door and had to go around in the back. And, you know, being positioned that I was at that time, you got to use a lot of wisdom. So I said, now, Brother Randall, if you want to set this thing down and rest a little while, then we'll just set it down and rest. Oh, no, I'm fine, brother. Well, let's just take it all the way around, and then we can set it down and we can rest. And pride got a hold of me, and pride about killed me that day. But what I remember most about Brother and Sister Randall was that they gave most of their income to the church and to missions. They never missed church, regardless of the weather, regardless of what. You could count on that old 53 Plymouth pulling up to the front there. His wife was pretty well an invalid. He would get out and he would help her into the front seat. And I just remembered so much about what they did. And I was so thankful that God placed them in the first church that I ever pestered or pastored. I was so grateful and thankful for that. So I can look back over my life, and I can pinpoint individuals that has touched me in so many ways. I can name people in this church today that has touched my life in so many ways. They have blessed me. They have strengthened me. They have encouraged me. I guess what I'm really wanting to say here is, folks, we really do need each other. There's something about coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night that I miss it when I can't come. I enjoy the fellowship that we have one another. And the Bible says here that they continued steadfastly in the fellowship. Thirdly, they said they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread. It seems there was an excitement that was present within them. They were excited about their salvation. They were excited about the Holy Spirit. They were excited about God's grace and God's mercy. And in the breaking of bread, as they took those emblems or took those elements into their hands, it was a constant reminder of what God had done for them. I must admit that I have a concern in my own heart, in my own life, that I may take for granted too much the blessings of God sometimes. I really do not want to do that. I've been raised in this doctrine. For years I've heard preached and taught the blessings and the benefits of God, that Jesus gave his life so that we may be saved. Therefore, I pray that each time that I take communion, it will not be just a form or a ritual that I go through with. This morning was a blessed time as we took those emblems in our hands and we remembered. And as those that prayed this morning prayed, that I could remember what God really has done for me. You know, it's easy to take for granted so many things. Over the years, we've all seen people changed around our altars. I mean, how wonderful it is to see him kneel a sinner and rise a saint. I don't know how God does that, but he does it. We have seen individuals healed by the power of God.
I mean, miracles happen. We've seen that. We've seen families that have come back together and miracles performed in homes. And today, I keep praying, oh God, help me to stay excited about what you're doing and stay excited about what you have done for me. Reaching down as a little small child, saving my heart and my soul and my life, and putting me on a course that I needed to go, and sustaining me all of these years. Oh God, help me to be thankful, to be grateful for what you have done. So through the breaking of bread, the Bible says that they continued. They continued. Fourthly, they continued steadfastly in prayer. What can we say more than simply remind us of what has already been said in God's Word? For God's Word declares unto us, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. The Bible says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. And John 15:7 says that if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. How many people are busy? Would you raise a hand? Just some of you maybe raise both hands. I think we're all busy. And it seemed like that's just the time we're living in today. It just gets busier and busier. But I just pray that God will help us to never get too busy to pray, to find a place where we can get alone with God and to seek his face. And they continued steadfastly in prayers. I'd like to conclude tonight with just with some scripture. You know, back then when I wrote that word down, steadfast, I went home. Now that was a long time ago. Didn't have a computer with a Bible program on it. I had the old Strong's Concordance. How many of you still got a Strong's Concordance? Ha ha! Man, makes me feel good. But I got it down, and I started looking up steadfast, steadfastly, anything had to do close to that word. I was alone in my office, and so I would look it up, read it, write it down, and went through several of them. And it's hard for me to explain tonight how I felt, because at that time it just seemed like that God was standing right there in front of me as I was reading his word, and he was talking directly to me. It was a powerful, powerful
experience. So what I want to do, I selected a few of those, went back and pulled them out, selected a few of those scriptures. I'm not going to give you book, chapter, and verse. I'm just going to give you the word. And hopefully God can speak to us for this hour today and help us that we might continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Listen to God's word. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And the last part of Matthew 10:22 says, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. As I close tonight, it comes to me, I'm reminded that it doesn't say he that gets halfway through life and quits. It doesn't say that he that almost makes it to the end will be saved. But it says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. I have purposed in my own heart, in my own life, a long time ago, that regardless of what other people may do, or regardless of what other people may not do, it does not have to affect me and my walk with God. I determine in my heart to be faithful to the end. So what was the secret of the apostles? What was the secret of our forefathers? What is the secret for me? What is the secret for us? It is all the same, to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and fellowship. in prayers. So simple, but so profound, that if we can hide this into our hearts, into our lives, when the storms come and when they go, we're going to still be standing, because we're standing in His strength and in His promises and not ours. Thank God. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You for the simplicity of Your word this evening. We pray, Lord, that You would just take it and anoint our hearts with it and help us again to see these truths and hide them in our hearts. We recognize that we're living in a day and we're living in a time when there are great challenges. And the enemy truly is at work to defeat us. But according to Your word, Lord, according to Your promises, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So, Lord, we look to You for Your leadership, and help us to continue steadfastly in the doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Thank You, Father.